Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Tuesday, October 9th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you doing today on a day where Drew Brees sets the all-time passing record? But what I really want to ask you, Scott, is like, how do we treat that record when we compare eras? I know in baseball, we talk about the juice ball, the raised mound, the dead ball era, the steroids era. What era are we in right now in NFL history where you can't touch the quarterback or the wide receivers, and we're going kill, kill, kill every play?
It's more of a passing era, obviously, than it's ever been before. But, you know, still it's really a terrific accomplishment. You know, he's beaten out Tom Brady, who played pretty much in the same era. And a lot of all these quarterbacks who gained these many yards, you know, pretty much played in the same era. You know, the numbers are there. Look, you know, Barry Bonds with the juice ball and the steroids, the records. Still the record, but I don't think I don't think there's any asterisks or any taint to it like Barry Bonds. So I think if you look at it that way, though, it's it might be a little nitpicky. You know, it is what it is. You know, the NFL has changed. It's a passing league, and Drew Brees and guys like that have made the proper adjustments, and they've excelled.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't say that in any way, shape, or form to slight Drew Brees. Breezy with a great game this week. Also, 363 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, the man only threw 3 incompletions as he goes 26 for 29. I just think it's interesting, similar to baseball, how, you know, in different eras, the game has changed in a number of ways. And so, you know, it's not like Johnny Unitas really ever had a shot at making this kind of record. But we do tip our cap to Drew Brees. He almost wound up with his 500th touchdown pass. He'll likely get that next week as well. But Scotty, the big question, I'm already getting questions on social media about this, is as it relates to the new usage and breakdown in this Saints backfield. Mark Ingram comes back after his suspension, has 16 carries, 53 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Also gets another 20 yards in the receiving game. Okay, so you like the return out of Mark Ingram. The question is, as it relates to the number one player in fantasy entering week 5, and I'm talking about Alvin Simon and Theodore Kamara. Kamara only gets 6 carries for 24 yards, but you're like, don't worry about it, Speeds. His bread is buttered in the passing game anyway. Well, only 3 catches for 15 yards, a total of 39 yards in total scrimmage yards here, and only 3 catches. The question is, listen, Scott, is this the breakdown in usage we should expect, or should it kind of, you know, settle in and normalize as more of an even timeshare?
I think it also settle and normalize as more of an even timeshare. I think, but we're all speculating here. You know, that's the problem here. You know, Sean Payton really didn't allude to anything that really said, why he did this. So I think, you know, we're trying to pick stuff up out of the air. I think it's a legitimate concern. But, you know, I will say one thing that I know for sure. You know, go to the NFL tab on rotoexperts.com and scroll down to the latest injury report from Inside Injuries. And this is from Friday. This is the one solid thing I could say. And I quote, Kamara's knee injury has been bothering him the past few weeks, and we don't think he's necessarily in danger in week five, it's something to keep an eye on. He was limited last week and limited practice sessions. Playing through a knee injury has its risk. Mark Ingram returns this week, so Kamara will likely see a drop in usage. So, you know, I talked about it yesterday. I said, you know, they don't, before we saw what happened last night, is that they don't want to run Kamara into the ground. Then you put it together what Inside Injuries says, and, you know, the one possibility of speculation that I can make with something to back it up from Inside Injuries is that, you know, they wanted to get Kamara some rest heading into the bye because, you know, he was overworked and he was playing with a knee injury. So if he comes out of the bye healthier, I think, you know, we might see more of what we did last year, and that's the hope.
All right, so I think the biggest point that you make there, Scotty, is that the New Orleans Saints are one of two teams that have a bye in week six, right? So Kamara has some time to get healthy. Ingram has some time to get quote-unquote football shape. And when the Saints come on back in week seven, we may start to see a more normal usage pattern, and we may start to see what it is that we could expect going forward. I thought there was interesting pieces in other places of the Saints' offense as well, Scott. So let's talk about that now. We knew that Teddy Ginn was out offensively, and we were wondering who would maybe step up, right, in that other role. Cameron Meredith had 5 targets for 5 catches and 71 yards, but we saw the emergence of Tre'Quan Smith. Listen, only 3 targets, but he took those 3 targets for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the big play that got Drew Brees his record. Listen, Scott, Tre'Quan Smith is someone we have been talking about. We highlighted him in the preseason as a big time rookie who is coming on in the preseason, who may, at around this point of the year, you may start to hear. We've talked about him a lot. We knew at the first 4 weeks he was going to be something of a stash. What do you think about Tre'Quan Smith, actually, vis-a-vis, you know, Cam Meredith, who also had some production and opportunity in this game, and Ted Ginn as well? How do you handicap, read the tea leaves for all these wide receivers that are not named Michael Thomas?
Well, this looks like the Saints of, you know, maybe, say, 2 years ago. They played good defense early on. So first half, they looked like the Saints of last year, whereas what you talked about when you were talking about the Redskins, you know, it was just a track meet again yesterday, and everybody got involved. And even the running backs, the running game got involved. You know, they scored a ton of points. So, you know, everybody pretty much hit their ceiling. But that's not going to happen every week going forward, especially when this team plays on the road. You know, we even saw Josh Hill get involved. Maybe Ben Watson was the only guy that didn't get a piece of the pie. You know what you get from Michael Thomas, although it's been a little less the last 2 weeks. When Ted Ginn Jr. comes back, though, I don't know how much that affects Tre'Quan Smith, really. Like, he's in the mix. I think Cameron Meredith is like a wide receiver 4/5. You know, he's starting to get involved a little bit more, but Drew Brees has always spread the ball around a lot to the point where I'm still not sure, outside of Michael Thomas, who I can trust in this passing game, and plus they use the 2 running backs so heavily, and I don't know how much you can depend on the rest of the wide receivers, although Meredith is starting to show more signs of breaking out, and they're going to use him, Alvin Kamara, much more in the passing game when he's healthy, so I think it's risky. It continues to be risky outside of Michael Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is legitimately 7 names that I could give out right now that are going to probably get targets next time the Saints hit a football field, right? You know, there's both running backs, right? So that's 2 already. I know you don't think it's big, but Ben Watson did have 4 catches for 30 yards, so he's still somewhat in the mix. That's 3. And now there are 4 wide receivers to talk about. Michael Thomas, Cam Meredith, Tre'Quan Smith, and Ted Ginn when he comes back. That is 7 guys getting targets. Austin Carr also getting targets. These guys now in the running game as well. Talk about a high-end fantasy herd. You take the Shepherd as well, Drew Brees, 363 yards and 3 touchdowns now with more yards than any player in NFL history. Let's look at the Washington side of things.
Here's something to go back on, though, real quick. It's like if you look back to when Drew Brees had Marcus Colston and Jimmy Graham, outside of that, we really couldn't count on anybody in that passing game. You know, even back when they had those guys, Brees was still spreading the ball around a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And in those days, you know, you still had a guy like Pierre Thomas in the backfield also getting catches. So Drew Brees has always, Reggie Bush, Drew Brees has, Darren Sproles, Drew Brees has always not only relied on running backs, but his tight end and his backs out of the backfield. You need to rely on a lot of people to have more yards passing in the NFL than anybody in NFL history. On the Washington side of things, Scotty, I don't know if this was game flow. I would say it's mostly game flow, to be honest. But the Washington running attack winds up at only 39 yards total on the ground. Adrian Peterson was nowhere in a quote-unquote, not really a revenge game, but against one of his former teams, 4 carries and 6 yards. The game flow was out of whack, and you saw Chris Thompson on the field the most, but still not much production. Jamison Crowder leads this team in receiving with only 55 yards, has 8 targets along with Thompson, along with Harris. But listen, Richardson got banged up in the middle of this game. It looks like, you know, it's not necessarily an offense. You know, I think it's kind of reverting back to what we thought of this offense. Not really dynamic playmakers anywhere. And Alex Smith confident to just throw the little 7-yard under route, and that being just fine. Jordan Reed disappeared in this one as well. Only 1 catch for 21 yards. But listen, really, it was nothing. You thought Richardson might have been able to get going a little bit in the first half. He looked decent on a couple of balls, a couple of catches and runs, but then he got banged up. Crowder did a little bit in garbage time, but not much offense to speak of for this Washington football team, Scott.
Yeah, and when you talked yesterday about maybe the Saints, you know, racing out to a big lead.
Yep.
You know, which you were correct on. You know, I did say that some people will sometimes assume, okay, you know, game flow will say that, you know, Alex Smith is going to pad his stats and catch up, or, you know, some teams are just not built to play from behind, and I think Washington is one of them. And very questionable pieces on offense. With Peterson, I thought it was a revenge game because the Saints traded him away and he was angry that, you know, he never really got his shot there. I think he felt short-shrifted. He had one really nice catch and run, but that was it. You know, he hurt his shoulder during the game. You know, he's saying that he's going to be fine. They popped it back in. Chris Thompson, had enough volume to help you in a PPR league, but he suffered a rib injury and he had to leave the game there. Jordan Reed was completely invisible. Jamison Crowder continues to be disappointing. And like I said in the preseason, you know, although he made one beautiful catch, Paul Richardson is not even rosterable to me in fantasy right now. This was a bad move for him. You know, Alex Smith has reverted to being what he was before last year, where he doesn't really throw enough deep balls to make a difference. And when Richardson was playing with Russell Wilson, you know, who's a great deep passer, you know, their styles fit each other better. So, to me, you know, this Washington, I think Jordan Reed will bounce back. And, you know, you still want Chris Thompson. But really, other than that, I really don't want any part of this offense.
What about Crowder in PPR formats? You know, you talk about how he's not a dynamic guy, really. And if Smith is going to still dump it down a little bit, Crowder did have 8 targets. You know, what about a guy like Crowder? He doesn't have a ceiling per se. But, you know, with the bye weeks coming up, I can still see Crowder as someone you could plug and play at times, thinking he may get some volume underneath.
Well, you know, I don't think he's a dump-off guy. He's not going to catch screens and flat passes. But,
yeah, I'm talking about 8-yard crossing routes, you know?
Yeah, when you said dump-off, I thought you meant screens and stuff like that. You know, the middle of the slot receiver, the guy not going to get in the end zone. There's no upside there. You know, I'd want a receiver, you know, with a little bit more upside. I feel like with Crowder, I'm going to get 4 for 40, you know?
Right.
I just don't feel there's enough to help me win my fantasy game. If I want to take that type of player, I think I'll get a few more points per week out of Willie Steed. You know, I'd like to get guys who I feel are going to get in the end zone.
I hear you. I just wanted to clarify because you were saying you want no part of like this Washington offense. What I'm just answering back with, Scotty, is I think Crowder may be kind of in that in-between range. Like, I don't think if you have Jamison Crowder right now, I don't think you're cutting him. You know what I mean? But I don't think you're starting him either. I think so. I just want to clarify. I think he's someone who belongs on fantasy benches right now, but does not belong on the waiver wire.
Well, I got to look at his game log, but you know, which I'm going to do. But yeah. You know, Jamison Crowder has been mediocre so far.
He has.
You know, there might be something better out there on the waiver wire.
Okay, so I'd love to hear an updated later on
like
this week if we decide if we're going to cut Jamison Crowder or not.
Yeah, I feel like he's good enough to lose with.
Okay, yeah, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I think that's absolutely right. But to me, that still winds up being like, you know, he has a home on someone's bench. But I digress. Hey, Scotty, did you see what Colin Drew did last night? Did you see this? I mean, we talk about the guys over at DailyRoto.com. We talk about the DailyRoto.com optimizer, right? We talk about going to DailyRoto.com and not only, you know, using their tools, but clicking on the Go Premium tool, clicking on the sports betting tab. Our guy Colin Drew, who we had on this show, I think it was like every Wednesday, you know, talking about golf. Boy, is he raking up in DFS football. Listen, on Sunday, using the optimizer, Colin Drew won $72,000. We talked about it yesterday. Guess what, though? Last night on Monday Night Football, he tied for first place, taking home another $175,000. Colin goes for the hat trick. He'll play DFS hockey tonight, trying to win DFS tournaments in three consecutive days. We told you about DailyRoto.com, how it's made seven millionaires. But listen, it's getting Colin Drew hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's why you got to go on over to DailyRoto.com. Good stuff, Scott, out of Colin, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you can get his hockey analysis over there. But, you know, Colin's really good in all sports. You know, good things happen to good people. And, you know, it did with Colin Drew.
Absolutely. Big shout out to him and the entire crew over at DailyRoto.com. All right, we are off and running here. Week 5 is finally in the books. What we're going to do, Scott, is after the break here on Roto Experts in the Morning, we are going to start to look ahead to Week 6. The cycle continues, and we got Thursday Night Football, Eagles and Giants a mere 2 days away. We're going to start looking at the waivers for Week 6. We're going to tell you guys that you might like or you might want at every position. We'll tell you who's out there. We'll tell you if we think that they are a long-term guy you can add or if they're a fugazi, someone you need to forget about. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. There's also some late-breaking injury news that happened yesterday that are very important for your fantasy teams. Two guys that are on rosters were sent to IR yesterday. Find out who when we come back.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only place to go for 24/7 fantasy sports advice. Once you download the FNTSY Sports Radio app, you'll get the most accurate experts and most entertaining programming in the fantasy sports world. Listen to great shows like Fantasy Football Frenzy.
There you go right there, Goon Squad.
Game Time Decisions.
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is.
And plenty more.
Boo!
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio app on your iPhone and Android devices now and take the best fantasy sports talk wherever life leads you.
Hey, welcome back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got the spitting statistician and the king, Scott Engel. We're breaking down Monday Night Football. We talked a lot about it. I know we're going to get a ton of questions as it relates to Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara and the timeshare, the usage patterns. I personally believe it's slanted towards Ingram in his return a little bit more, but we think it will normalize a little bit after the Saints bye. Remember, they are on bye along with the Detroit Lions this week, Week 6, New Orleans and Detroit. Detroit on a bye, which is good, Scott, for our guy Kerry on my wayward son, because he left the game week five with an ankle. They say he's okay, but now he has another full week to rest up for Jim Bob Cooter and those Detroit Lions, who had a very impressive win against division rival Green Bay in week five. Hey, Scotty, I teased it before the break. You know, there were two injury reports that I thought were interesting yesterday. Two guys going to IR, and the lead is Jay Ajayi. Jay Ajayi from Philadelphia, the running back. It says that he tore his ACL in that game against the Minnesota Vikings in week five. He is done. So handicap the rest of this committee for me. First of all, Dr. A, yet again, okay? Dr. A said Leonard Fournette will get injured again. Dr. A also said Jay Ajayi will get injured again, although I must admit he was talking a lot more about Jay Ajayi's back and stuff. But regardless, we told you to stay away from him, and now you should have listened. But talk to me about the Philadelphia Eagles running back situation moving forward, Scott, because there's still Corey Clement. There's still now Wendell Smallwood, who's gotten worked in. And don't forget about Darren Sproles in the passing game. What do you want to do here with these Philly running backs?
Who knows when Sproles is going to be back in this mix? He didn't practice again yesterday. Clement is scheduled to come back. He was back at practice yesterday. But right now, I think it's going to be a timeshare between Clement and Smallwood. And I like more what I've seen of Smallwood when he's got the ball in his hands. You know, he's showed more spark and more burst when he's had the ball in his hands. And the one time we saw Jai out this year, it was Smallwood who got in the end zone and not Clement. So I think the one guy you want to own here is Smallwood. If you don't get Smallwood on Fab, I would roster Clement. And, you know, Smallwood could be the lead running back for the Eagles this Thursday against the Giants. I had Jay Ajayi in our league, the GST. I had Smallwood as a handcuff. I had him on the bench. I stashed him in two other leagues because, you know, I liked the way he's played when he's gotten to touch the ball. And, you know, Ajayi was getting all banged up here. So, and Sproles, who knows when he's going to be back in the mix whatsoever. And Smallwood can catch passes out of the backfield. So you got to look at things in the short term here. And I think right now in the short term, it's Smallwood and then Clement. We don't know with Sproles.
I want to ask you about Sproles a little bit more. You're right. We don't know about Sproles. Whenever he does come back, though, do you think he has viability in a PPR role?
I'm going to have to play a wait and see role because,
okay. You
know, but don't know the extent of the injury. And at 35 years old, you know, and a small running back, how is it really going to affect his performance? It's something maybe we could take up with Dr. A on Friday.
All right, let's add him to the list because we need to start reading tea leaves in Philadelphia after this Jay Ajayi injury. Another guy I mentioned got sent to IR yesterday. Not as big of a name as Jay Ajayi, but adding to the mash unit that is the tight end position, Scotty. King Haile Selassie, the Rastafari, Austin Safari and Jenkins goes to IR, you know, with the blood clot Rasta. He's got that core muscle injury, Scott. You know what it is. He's got that core muscle injury. He's going to go to IR for the Jags. Now, listen, I have been saying that I have been anti-Blake Bortles and the Bortles service. He gave the Bortles service to the Kansas City Chiefs defense in week five, right? But now, listen, this offense is a lot different. No Leonard Fournette, no Corey Grant. It's the TJ Yeldon show. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints bring in one of these kind of emergency call running backs just for depth, an Orleans Darkwa type in the next couple of days, but we'll see about that. But it's TJ Yeldon for now, we know, right, in Jacksonville. Now in the passing game, listen, we've been asking, like, is it Dede Westbrook? Is it Keelan Cole? Is it Dante Moncrief, right? And one of the names underneath there has been Austin Seferian Jenkins. Austin Seferian Jenkins is not a stud by any stretch of the imagination, but at last count, with something like 10 or 11 tight ends injured in the NFL, he was like a viable streaming kind of name. React to this one for me, Scott, in terms of the tight end position continuing to get crushed, and who is the uptick for among the Jags wide receiving core?
I don't know how much it really affects anything. Seferian Jenkins was pretty invisible for most of the season so far. He was a touchdown or bust guy, especially with the core muscle injury, which was really something that lingered from early in the season, and he mostly busted. So I really don't think this affects the outlook whatsoever, in Jacksonville.
Okay. Scotty, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start hearing stories like the one I'm about to mention because the NFL trading deadline is coming up in the next couple of weeks, okay? However, I will say this. Unlike baseball, unlike basketball to a degree, I'm not as sure about hockey, but there are less trades that are made in the NFL than in most cases. It's just hard, you know, for a guy to learn a new scheme, the financial implications in the NFL are a little bit different. For all of those reasons, trades are just generally less likely, especially with, you know, real viable players, okay? I'm reminded of maybe the Trent Richardson trade about 5 or 7 years ago. That's one I can remember. There are not a ton of in-season trades that happen. If anything, you see them most like around the preseason, like with the Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford kind of deal, stuff like that. So we've passed it. However, there are reports right now that the Miami Dolphins are shopping Devontae Parker. I don't know that they're going to get much for him. There are reports that the Giants are shopping Ereck Flowers. I don't know that they're going to get much for him. But I want to ask you about Devontae Parker. Because Devontae Parker is someone who, yes, I know, Scott, we have, you know, kind of poo-pooed. We have joked about for a little while. But there, in all sports, right, there's always one team out there that's like, you know what, with a change of scenery and our coaching, we can fix them. You know, whether that's a reliever who can't hit the broadside of a barn or a mercurial wide receiver who's been a diva in another place, there's always a team that's like, we can fix him. We can use him. And we have talked about a number of teams that have bad wide receiving cores, especially down there in Texas, that I know you like to talk about our friend, the fantasy executive, and his wide receiving core down there in Dallas. I mean, do you think there could be any interest in any market for a guy like Devontae Parker?
Some team may want to take him on as a reclamation product, but let's have some fun and pretend he goes to Dallas. What makes us think that he could be any more effective than Allen Hurns? All we heard throughout preseason was Allen Hurns, because he's got the opportunity. Devontae Parker has shown nothing that he can take advantage of the opportunity. So I don't think there's any fantasy interest there. The one thing I would say in his favor, like let's say he gets traded to Dallas, is I think Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. You know, the other thing is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So no matter where he gets traded, but look, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying that I certainly wouldn't be betting on it. As far as hockey goes, I'm not a hockey fan either. But as far as I know, the hockey trade deadline creates a huge amount of buzz every year.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. You know, in hockey that happens, in baseball that definitely happens. But I just wanted to, you know, put the caveat, the disclaimer out there before talking about it. You know, there's no guarantee that there are any trades in the NFL over the course of the next week or two, you know, but it is that time of year. So I'm just going to tell the listeners and the fans out there that you may start to hear these kind of reports, these kind of rumors, but take them with a grain of salt because it is not necessarily easy to make a trade in the NFL. Real quick, though, there was also buzz
happen,
over the weekend.
It could happen. It just happened with Josh Gordon, so you know, it can happen.
And I'm just saying, telling people they're going to start seeing these reports. We're also seeing reports of returns of two players. I asked you about Dante Foreman previously with the Houston Texans and how, because they have no running game with Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue, he may be viable in the medium-term future. We'll keep an eye out on that. The one other name I want to bring back, Scotty, it looks like Greg Olsen is eyeing a return in week 6. Now, listen, when he got hurt early in the season and we knew it was that same foot that he broke last year, To be honest, Scott, mentally, I was writing him off for a while. We were talking about potentially Ian Thomas taking over that role. In my mind, I thought Olsen was going to be gone, if not for the year, longer than this. It looks like he may be on the way back for the Panthers this week.
Yeah, it is possible that he's going to be back. But, you know, he did tell reporters that he's considering having foot surgery after the season. Now, look, he comes back, you got to put him back into your fantasy lineup because tight end is so desolate. But then if you had Jared Cook, say, if you're going to say Jared Cook versus Greg Olsen, I might lean Jared Cook, you know, if you have both on your roster somehow. So you know, that's that's a consideration who else you have. But if you're struggling for somebody, you got to put them in, but you can't have any confidence that you're going to be able to finish your fantasy season with him as your starting tight end.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you about Jared Cook. Can I ask you about another tight end who's had a hot month? Would you start Greg Olsen right away over Eric Ebron?
T.Y. Hilton's coming back, but...
Jack Doyle is not, right?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Jack Doyle hasn't practiced yet this week, so as long as Jack Doyle is out, I think I got to start Eric Ebron every week.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, I want to tell the people, okay, what they need to do. We talked about DailyRoto.com, right? But what you need to do is take all that information, right, and then go on over to MyBookie.ag, because if you enjoy playing fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with the professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at MyBookie.ag. Forget having to create the multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Avoid experts winning 98% of the money or 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. So go to MyBookie.ag. Enter the promo code FNTSY, choose your matchups, and use the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag. Remember, you can always find us on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty RotoX, and judging by our responses, you're definitely looking out there and following. Listen, guys, Scotty has something like 30,000 followers. The Spittin' Statistician's only got 3. Help me out. Tell a friend to tell a friend. But as we move on here on Roto Experts in the Morning, Scotty, I want to look to the waiver wire for week 6. Listen, honestly, you've had 5 weeks. If you're 2-3, but with decent points, you're okay. If you're 3-2, you're fine, okay? If you're 4-1 or 5-0, obviously. If you're 1-4, you probably got a hill to climb. But, Scotty, if you're 2-3 and have, like, a good amount of points, like the GST league that we're in, I am 2-3. But out of the 12 teams, I have the 6th highest point total. I still feel comfortable that if I win a few games, I'm right there. I am in the playoffs right now at 2-3. So it's really a matter of that points total, even more than your record at this point in the season. Do you agree, Scott?
Records first and foremost, but you have
a lot of
points.
Of course.
You're right. You're right that you can have a lot of confidence. The other flip side is that you feel very frustrated because you look at a lot of situations like that. You have the most points against, so you just feel like you're having bad luck, which you are. But you can remain confident. You know, sometimes just other teams blow up against you. You'll have a real good week. You'll score 165, and you'll lose 165 to 180. You'll go against the guy, you know, who had Eric Ebron, who had the Cardinals defense, you know, and the kicker who scored 15 points, etc. So you're certainly not out of it. 2-3, your season's not over. You know, you could easily win 3 in a row, 4 in a row, and you'll be fine.
Yep. Absolutely. And I look at my matchups so far. I've played 2 of the top 3 teams already, but you know, that's one league, so I'm still okay. I feel like, actually, excuse me, I have the 5th highest point total. The 5th highest point total, and 6 teams make the playoffs in that league. My point total is 5th highest in that league. You are doing well at 4-1. I've also already faced the Gurley Man. I've already faced Mike Blewett, so I've gotten some of the big boys out of the way. But regardless of if you're 3-2 or 2-3 in some of those leagues and you still got a shot, you may need to look at the waiver wire. And here's what I want to ask you, Scott, of the quarterbacks, okay? Some of the same names we talk about all the time. We've talked about Andy Dalton having a decent year. We've talked about Baker Mayfield. I've talked about Joe Flacco, even though he had a bad game in week 5. But what I want to ask you about, Scott, there are 2 quarterbacks coming off byes in week 5. And I want to ask you who you like better, okay? Remember, in week 5, it was the Bears and the Bucks that had their bye. So there's Mitchell Trubisky, who technically is coming off a game, his last effort, where he threw 6 touchdowns and for 354 yards. So a lot of people have, you know, kind of good feelings in the recency bias about Mitch Trubisky. Or Jameis Winston coming off a bye for the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know my narrative, Scott. I believe Winston is going to be a viable quarterback moving forward because of the Tampa Bay Bucks run defense and the shootouts that are in that they're in. And he's still going to have, you know, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, and Chris Godwin out there for him. Jameson Crowder, and what I'm seeing, is owned in only 20—not Jameson Crowder, excuse me—Jameis Winston is owned in only 20% of leagues right now, whereas Mitchell Trubisky is owned in 25% of leagues. You can have both of these guys. Let's say you have Drew Brees on a bye or something like that. Winston or Trubisky, which way would you be leaning? I'm leaning Jameis Winston. And for me, to be honest, Scott, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close for me either. You know, obviously they play Atlanta and this week. And look, it's, you know, that game's going to have a very high implied point total. I think it's the second highest of the week, only behind the Patriots and the Chiefs. So I like Winston. They have no running game. They have no defense. Trubisky could easily go back in the tank this week. They play at Miami in two home games. Miami has allowed one touchdown pass and five interceptions.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think Winston is going to be viable here on the Miami side with Trubisky. Listen, you're not. That was, to me, a function more of facing the Tampa Bay pass defense than what he was doing. You know, some people, I remember at this point last week, were like, oh, he's turned the corner, right? You know, that was the kind of narrative around Trubisky. But we'll see what happens at Miami next week or this week coming up. Remember, Miami has been a different team. Miami has been a different team at home in Florida early in the season than they were when they went up to New England, when they went to Cincinnati. It might be a little bit different. I think the Bears' defense will have their way with Ryan Tannehill, but the question is, what can the Bears' offense do? That is my question. We're going to have the phone lines open as well in our final segment, all right, guys? So when we come back from the break, we're going to have the phone lines open at 844-843-6879. If you want to join the show, we look at the waiver wires as well for tight end, running back, and wide receiver, give you a couple of guys to target. And as you know, DailyRoto.com is making fantasy great again. Big shout out again to our guy, Colin Drew, who took home 70 plus grand on Sunday and another 175K as a result of Monday Night Football. We tell you all the time, I say it all the time here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. That's what my man Colin Drew is doing. We'll help you with waiver wires when we come back. Roto experts in the morning, Dane and Scott.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are on fire in the morning here. We got the King, Scott Angle. I am merely the spitting statistician, the stable genius and vocal minority of the Fantasy Sports Network. Dane Martinez here. Hey, Scotty, let's get into it. We got the phone lines open if people want to put the fun and functional sports content with us. The number to call is 844-843-6879. But Scotty, let's dive into some more waiver wire ads. We talk about how tight end is always a mash unit, how tight end is something where, you know, we even had more injuries, you know, whether you had him on your starting lineup or not, ASJ goes down as well. We mentioned Greg Olsen coming back, right? So I think you definitely want to give a look to see if Greg Olsen is available. The other tight end I'm interested in right now, I know, listen, he is owned in what I'm looking at in around 35% of leagues. I'm going to tell you right now, go try to make Cameron Brate, making America Brate again. What about Cameron Brate, Scotty? You know, O.J. Howard is still out. And last year when Jameis Winston was the quarterback, he certainly had an affinity for Cameron Brate, especially in the red zone. He would be the number one tight end I would be personally targeting this week on the tight end waiver run.
Yeah, for sure. The previous two seasons, playing mostly with Winston, Brate had 14 touchdown passes and he has scored in each of his last two games. So this is a guy that, you know, that he's going to be playing in a volume offense, and we know Jameis Winston likes to look for him, you know, inside the cash money area, inside the 10-yard line.
Absolutely. So what about your guy, Austin Hooper, Scotty? I look, and I mean, at this point, he's owned in just over 50% of leagues. Here's my question, though. The Falcons have played 5 games, 3 of them in a dome and two, you know, in the state of Pennsylvania, right? Like when they played Philly or against teams from Pennsylvania, at least. When they're outside, it's really different than when they're in the dome, Scotty. I mean, they're scoring points in the dome. They're not really doing it outside. And Hooper, although, you know, he has been involved, you got Julio, you got Ridley, you got Sanu, you got the backs out of the backfield. This offense at 1-4 has not necessarily showed itself to be as dynamic, especially outside of the dome. You like Austin Hooper, or would you take Brait over Hooper, right?
Easily.
Okay.
You know, Hooper had his best game of the season, I think the best game of his career this past week. I could be wrong on the second one, but it's definitely his best game of the season. You know, 1 week he's catching 2 passes for 4 yards, and next week he's going 5 for 77. He's very, very inconsistent. I think it depends on the matchup. You know, right now you got those top three wide receivers, and if the offense is humming, you know, that's it. And once in a while, they'll throw to a fourth wide receiver, sometimes over the tight end or the running back, especially, you know, in the red zone. So, look, Julio's Julio. You know what he is. Calvin Ridley, we're seeing what he is. Mohamed Sanu is a wide receiver 4. And outside of that, there's really nothing in the pass-catching game you want to be a part of. Austin Hooper's the kind of guy right now where if I'm looking at my lineup screen and I have to put him in, I'm feeling very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, and let me ask you something. We saw also that Tyler Eifert went down with an injury, a gruesome injury at that, a couple weeks ago. People were hypothesizing Tyler Kroft, CJ Uzoma. Listen, this offense, Cincinnati's offense, continues to still be relevant, right? So do you care about either of these Bengals tight ends on the waiver wire potentially?
I'm going to continue to ride with Uzoma. He had a nice 25-yard catch and run last week. I think he'll have his chances to do it in the red zone. Sometimes it's a little bit of the dice roll there, you know, a little bit of spin of the wheel. But, look, you can't depend on a lot of fantasy tight ends. I'm going to maintain the faith that, you know, Andy Dalton looks for his tight end a lot, especially in the red zone, and then Uzoma's going to get his, and then he could be a back-end tight end one going forward.
Okay, let's look at the running back position a little bit, all right, Scotty? We talked a little bit already about the Philadelphia running backs. You talk about Smallwood and Clement. Both of those guys are very heavily added across leagues, as we know. But I want to bring up a couple of other guys and see, you know, because you may have options, right? If you have options, I want to ask you, first of all, correct me if I'm wrong, Scotty, you said you would prioritize Smallwood and then Clement on the waiver wire. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, fantastic. So up against Smallwood and Clement, I want to ask if you would prioritize on your little waiver ranking or with your fab budget, would you spend more or less, or would you prioritize these guys over the Philadelphia running backs? I have a couple of names for you, okay? The first one is over in San Francisco. We saw Matt Breida go down. So what about Alfred Morris? Would you prioritize Alfred Morris over these Philadelphia backs?
Yeah, I would, because I feel like that he's going to be the featured guy, whereas the Philadelphia running backs is going to be more of a timeshare. I think he has a chance to be more of a featured runner.
Right, and just for context, I'm trying to find people who, albeit in Yahoo leagues, which are very public, as we know, I'm trying to find people that are like under 50 or 60% owned. So people that you have a chance to go out and get. You know, I know there are some people, like for example, Isaiah Crowell had a huge game last week, right? And he's heavily added. But at the same time, Isaiah Crowell was already on 75% of rosters, so that doesn't help you as much. But it sounds like you would take Alfred Morris over the Philadelphia guys. What about up in Seattle, your boy Mike Davis. Mike Davis is only owned in about 20-25% of leagues. Now, listen, we saw the rookie Rashad Penny only get like one snap, I believe. This looks like it's Carson and Davis. Would you put in a claim on Mike Davis up in Seattle?
Yes, I would, and I would do it over Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement, because we know that's a timeshare, But Mike Davis has been putting up pretty darn good numbers. They like him a little bit in the passing game, and I think he's their preferred goal line back.
Okay, so it sounds like – would you go Morris over Davis, though?
That's a tough one, but I'm probably going to go with Morris there because when he's been getting the ball, he's been running hard, and I don't think there's really any rival there for him in a major way. I think Raheem Mostart's going to be more of a compliment than anything.
Exactly. I agree with you. I would have Morris over Davis because, you know, Carson is at least there and some kind of a share, right? Whereas I believe Morris might have it more to himself. One more guy I want to ask you about, and then we do, in fact, have a caller. So it sounds like right now you're going Morris, then Davis, then the Philly backs. Where would you put my boy Blue involved in there as well? Alfred Blue only owned in 15% of leagues. I know Lamar Miller may be back in the mix, but as we all know, Lamar Miller sucks.
Yeah, we do know that, but I would put Blue last because even though I feel like he's going to cut more into Lamar Miller's workload, Miller is expected to be back last week, so you're looking at a potential timeshare there, and there's not a lot of upside for Blue as a player. There's more upside for a Smallwood and even a Clement, so I put him last on the list.
All right, fair enough. We'll look at some of the wide receivers in a hot second, but first, we got a caller we want to get to. It is Kelly in Tampa. You're on Roto Experts in the morning, Kelly. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, girl. How are you?
How you doing, Kelly? Right. How can we help you for week six and beyond?
So I got the W, which I needed desperately, so now I'm 3-2, so excited.
All right.
I had Ricky Jones, whatever, as my backup tight end. He had one job to do, and that was replace Burton this last week, and he failed miserably.
Right, but you needed him for 1 week, Kelly. You needed him for 1 week, and it didn't happen. Right, I hear you.
He had one job to do, and he messed it up. So, you know, I was listening this morning. I hear and see and realize how thin tight end is, and I always have tight end problems, which is why I drafted two this year. But I also feel like I'm weak at wide receiver and running back. And, I mean, I dropped Robbie Anderson. I know he had a good game. It might be a fluke over the weekend to pick up Blue. And there's also, like, Smallwood is available on waivers. Should I drop Ricky to get a better wide receiver or running back, or should I just hold tight with that second tight end just because tight ends are so weak?
Scott, you can go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think with Trey Burton, I think you know you have something decent there. So running back is so thin too in terms of picking up guys. You can never have enough running backs, and a lot of the tight ends you're going to get out there are like real gambles and, you know, real dice rolls. So even more than the tight ends, so I would say I'd lean towards picking up the running back, more than anything.
I agree with Scott, Kelly. You said it yourself. You know, you had one job, Ricky Seals-Jones. In essence, if you have Trey Burton, you have someone that you are likely starting now the rest of the weeks of the fantasy season. The Bears are past their bye, you know. So because of that, I am cool with you cutting Ricky Seals-Jones and trying to find the running back. Hopefully that helps out for you, Kelly. Call back anytime. Roto Experts in the morning. We got another call, Scotty. It is your boy, Kenny in Philly. How you doing, cowboy? What's going on, Roto Experts in the morning? Holler at you.
Hey, kid.
How you doing?
Hi, Polecat.
Hope you had a good weekend. Shout out to Drew Brees. It was a great night last night, but I got an issue here. I'm the commissioner of this league, and someone offered me a trade, and I denied them, and I sent them a counter trade. So, the trade was I was giving them Deion Lewis for Jared Cook. Mind you, I have Ricky Seals-Jones starting, and I have Greg Olsen, who I just found out last week was practicing, and he'll be back hopefully this week. So I was going to trade Deion Lewis for Jared Cook for this weekend. Mind you, the trade happened. I set the counter off for Friday, so yep. I wasn't going to get Jared Cook till Monday. So I wasn't going to be able to play him this weekend, and when the other gentleman wasn't going to be able to play Deion Lewis this weekend. So that's a farce. So I ended up backing out of the deal, and now the guy was telling me that I'm a cheater or something like that, because I reneged on the deal. So, like I said, I'm the commissioner of this league, so
Where was the deal? Did it actually go through? Was it like pending, or were you just in negotiations? To me, that's the critical difference, Kenny. If you actually hit on the website accept and it says pending, then you got to let it go through, man. But if you were just like emailing back and forth and you were like, yeah, I'm about to do that, but then didn't fully commit, I'm okay with that.
I sent the trade. He sent me the trade, I guess, Thursday, and I sent him a counter offer on Friday. And I didn't do the trade, the cancel thing till Saturday because actually I talked to George and Dan over the weekend. They said they really like Dan Lewis, so they kind of persuaded me to cancel it. So I canceled it. But the guy, he's just not trying to hear it because he wants Dan Lewis and he wanted the trade to go through. So that's the
right. But Kenny, when you say you canceled it.
Nothing but sour grapes there. But I understand what happened is, you know, you offered the trade, and then you pulled it down. You're not a cheater. You didn't break any rules. You changed your mind, and you pulled the trade off the table. You know, over it.
Plus, with me getting the information that Greg Olsen was practicing all weekend, and like you guys said already, he'll be back this weekend. There was no need for me to have him. And I started Ricky Sales Jones this week, which was a farce, which is a dud, but I was willing to take that risk, and I mean, keeping Deion Lewis on board, so.
I hear you, but Kenny, let me just clarify. You didn't it wasn't formally like pending, right? You didn't accept it officially on the website, did you?
No. Look, I sent the trade, so
yeah.
He sent a counter offer. No. He originally sent me a trade. I sent him the counter offer. Now, Friday into Saturday was when he had time to look at the trade and accept it.
Canceled it before he accepted the counter.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, then you're fine. All I'm saying, because at first when I heard, it almost sounded to me, Kenny, like he then accepted it, but then as commissioner, you like canceled it after he accepted. That I would have beef with, Kenny.
No, that wasn't what happened. But
all right, cool. Then you're good to go, man.
You're
good to go.
He just changed his mind and pulled it off
the
table,
cool.
And the other guy.
That's cool.
The other guy is upset, but he needs to get over it. And to call Kenny a cheater, Kenny didn't do anything wrong.
No, you're fine, Kenny.
He trades with everybody, and he kind of screws people over and stuff like that. So that's just an issue for me. I mean, me being commissioner.
You know what? I would have made that trade if I could have, though, to be honest with you. Deion Lewis has been very disappointing, and Jared Cook has been a top four fantasy tight end.
Hey, right. Kenny, what else you got? We only got a couple minutes left. We still want to give out some wide receivers here, too.
Okay. No, that's all I got. I just wanted to get you guys insight about that, so. All right, man,
yeah, you all right then, Kenny. You all right then, man. That's why, that you know, sometimes you got to hop on it right away. If you get something you like, you got to hop on it before the other owner said wants to pull it back. I completely understand. And you are all good. You are still in good graces with the ethics of Roto Experts in the morning. Scotty, we only got a couple minutes. I want to talk wide receivers real quick. And, you know, our first call down there in Florida mentioned Robbie Anderson. Do you believe in Robbie Anderson or do you want to see it again? A lot of people, you know, kind of cut him after his bad, you know, first month of the season. He's owned in 35% of leagues. Do you believe that Sam Darnold is growing in faith in Robbie Anderson?
Robbie Anderson's too boom or bust. To me, he's a niche wide receiver. When Sam Darnold wants to hit the deep ball, he goes downfield. I believe that's the only thing that Sam Darnold has confidence in him with is throwing that deep ball. So it's either boom or bust. They either hit the deep ball or they don't. And it's not something you can rely on. Robbie Anderson is a fantasy wide receiver 5 right now.
All right, what about some other names? Listen, we were giving out Kiki QT last week, so he's still in the mix, obviously. What about a guy in Green Bay, Valdes-Scantling? We don't know about Cobb or Allison's health. Christian Kirk in Arizona is being heavily added. Maybe he's got a little bit of rapport with the Rosen one. And what about any of these Rams replacements? Like, if we don't see, you know, Cooks and Kupp, I'm a little bit concerned about Cooks. What about a Josh Reynolds? Any of these wide receivers you're looking to add?
Yeah, they might need Reynolds to step up with both Cooks and Kupp possibly out. And Christian Kirk, you know, he's certainly worth a flyer. He's only owned in less than 12% of leagues right now on ESPN. And this is a guy that I would certainly – it's not just, you know, the Rosen thing. He had a really good game with Bradford 2 weeks ago. He's stepping forward because Larry Fitzgerald's playing hurt. You know, he's making the most of the opportunity, so you at least got to take a flyer on him.
Okay, so you would prioritize Kirk. He's owned in only 10% of leagues, Scotty. You would rather Kirk over Robbie Anderson, over Tyler Lockett is 70% owned, so I don't think he's the answer. QT is out there. Would you take Kirk or QT?
I would definitely take QT. I feel like, you know, that's a better passing game.
Yeah, I hear you. And we've talked about this already. The Houston Texans have no running game to speak of. Deshaun Watson running around trying to make plays. Maybe QT gets involved there. What about would you take Kirk or would you take Valdez-Scantling?
I would take Kirk because Valdez-Scantling's more of a short-term thing.
Okay. And also, there's one other guy. Remember, these guys coming off their buys are interesting. Chris Godwin, only 40% owned, Scotty. Where would you put Chris Godwin in this pecking order?
Top of the list.
Okay.
I think
QT?
DeSean Jackson, the deep guy. Actually, though, I would put him second on the list behind QT. Because
you would prioritize QT over Chris Godwin.
Yeah, but Godwin's definitely number two.
Okay.
Could be a regular red zone target. Average 17.8 yards per catch playing with Winston. And towards the bottom of that list, I'll put David Moore from the Seahawks yesterday. A lot more snaps played last week. Scored 2 touchdowns. Could end up being their other deep threat along with Lockett.
All right, and now that Week 5 games are in the books, if you had a bad beat, send me a screenshot for hashtag Game of Inches, at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. Scotty, we got 2 hours tomorrow. We'll look ahead to Week 6. That's been Roto Experts in the Morning. Have a great day, Scotty.